good evening. Jai Shri Krishna Guru. Thank you for joining Shri Bhagavad Gita Satsang, the song of the divine. Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha, Om Shri Ganeshaya Namaha, Om Shri Sarasvataya Namaha, Om Shri Guru Dattatre Namaha, Om Shri Mahalakshmi Namaha, Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Devo Maheshwaraha, Guru Sakshat Parabrahma, Tasmai Shri Gurume Namaha. We'll be continuing from chapter 2, that is Sankhya Yoga, the Yoga of Knowledge.
This podcast was created on Hubhopper Studio. If you wish to start your own podcast for free, visit studio.hubhopper.com or download the mobile app on Google Play Store. Hubhopper is India's leading podcast creation platform. Start your podcast and get your voice heard across the platforms like Spotify, Gaana, Google Podcast, Wink Music and more. Click on the link in the episode description or visit studio.hubhopper.com.
In the last episode, we stopped at verse 22, where Lord Shri Krishna was explaining to Arjuna how the soul is eternal. Today, we'll still continue with a deeper understanding about how the soul is a Paramatman. It's the body which dies and not the soul. So, I'll give a small recap of last verse that we stopped in, and then from there on, we'll continue. As a man shedding worn out garments takes other new ones, likewise, the embodied soul, casting off worn-out bodies, enters into others that are new. Exactly, this is where we ended at. And what was Lord Shri Krishna saying? He's saying this body is just a transitory. Like we wear, you know, garments. When it is old, it is worn out, we throw that and we don a new one. We wear a new garment. Similarly, the soul is also like that. It discards the body once, you know, the body dies. The soul has nothing to, you know, carry forward. Then it goes and takes on another body. So this is a, you know, cycle, the process of birth and death. But is the soul transitory? No, the soul is eternal. The Paramatman is eternal. It is the body which is, you know, goes back into the nature, that is Prakriti. So the body has come from Prakriti and it goes back into the nature. So the soul is eternal. That is the conviction that we need to have. And this is exactly what Lord Shri Krishna is explaining to Arjuna, how not to get attached to the body and to understand and have the conviction that I am that divine being. You know, it's a very difficult task to explain what this Paramatman means. That is why, you know, till you don't experience yourself this truth, nobody can. But the Lord is only trying to explain to Arjuna in different ways, because that is why it is said you have to, you know, you need to have your own God realization or self realization, because that's a realization. Nobody can say what is a self. You can only point it out. Like the Guru points out to us, it is like this, it is like this, you know, he's just giving an inference. He's trying to explain to the best of his abilities. But is it that? No, he can't, because nobody can. Only you have to experience it yourself. So let us continue. Weapons cannot cut it, nor can fire burn it. Water cannot wet it, nor can wind dry it. Now, what does it say here? See, if you, weapons cannot cut it. So it's not something tangible, right? So you can't use a weapon to cut the soul. Likewise, he's saying, nor can fire burn it. So it's not any of the substance that can be, you know, destroyed with. You can't use another substance to destroy the soul. So what does it mean? It's not tangible. You can't see it. You can't touch it. You can't feel it. But it is just there. You have to experience it. And how do you experience it? If you don't have the understanding of who this Paramatman is, what is a soul? You know, that is what you need to understand. So in this, the Lord is again giving Arjuna various, you know, examples and teaching him that how does this soul, you know, is eternal. How the soul has no connection to the body. The soul is eternal being. The soul is eternal. That is, the Paramatman is eternal. See, we think that we are the Jiva. We are individual soul. There is no individual soul. The Jivatman and the Paramatman is the one and the same. I am that. You know, there are a lot of great sages, saints, or, you know, all the wise men. They have all, you know, they are the proponents of this self-realization. They have talked about how you need to understand that you are that. So there's even a very beautiful text which has been written saying, I am that. How do you understand I am that? Even Nisargadatta Maharaj was talking about that I am that self. Even he has explained in his, you know, in his teachings. But it's very difficult for the normal mind to comprehend it. You can't understand because you can't use your mind to understand the soul here. So you have to transcend. How do you transcend? First, you have to go through the process. And here Lord Shri Krishna is giving this, he's imparting this esoteric knowledge to Arjuna. And you and me are that Arjuna. And we are getting this knowledge. So let us continue. So weapons cannot cut it, nor can fire burn it. Water cannot wet it, nor can wind dry. So what is it saying? It is beyond this, the elements as well. You can't use anything tangible to experience a soul. You can't cut it, the fire cannot burn it, the water cannot wet it, or the wind cannot dry it. You know, isn't that so beautiful? So what does it say? It's beyond the body, mind, senses. That is what it is saying. For the soul is incapable of being cut or burnt by fire, nor can it be dissolved by water, and is undryable by air as well. This soul is eternal, all-pervading, immovable, constant and everlasting. So what is being said again here? The Lord is re-emphasizing what he's teaching to Arjuna, that is, for the soul is incapable of being cut, which means you can't take, it's not like a tangible thing like a vegetable. You can cut it into pieces. First of all, you don't even know where the soul is. You will have to figure it out. You're trying to look for it. So it's not tangible. The next is saying, you can't, if the fire cannot burn. Again, which means it's not something that you can burn with the fire. First of all, you need to see the object to burn. So what are you going to burn? There is nothing that you can see. So all this is talking about that it's not something which is tangible. It's not an object. It's not, you know, sentient being. Or neither it is an insentient being. That's what he's saying here. And then, nor can it be dissolved by water. So what does it mean? It's not like a sugar or a salt that can be dissolved in water. So you can't even dissolve it in water. And it's undryable by air. So it's not a garment or something that you can dry with the air. So the soul is none of this, which means it's not made of any of, it's not a created thing. You know, only a created thing can be, you know, cut. You can cut a vegetable because it's a created thing. You can cut an object, you can cut some things. So that is a created aspect. But here, it's nothing to do with the, you know, created object at all. So what is he saying here? This soul is eternal. It's always there. It has been there. It's time immemorial and it is going to be there. It was in the past, present and the future. It's only me, this body, which is transient. I come, I go, I come, I go. But the soul has always been there. It's like a constant line. There's been no shift in that. But we are a blip in it, like this. You know, just a bubble. We come, we take the body, finish. And once the body dies, then we go and take another body. So it just goes like this. But is the soul a transient thing? Or is it transitory? No, it's not. It's the body which is transitory in nature. Then what is he saying? It's all pervading. It pervades this entire universe. It is everywhere. The Paramatman is pervading this entire universe. But how do you understand this? So, you know what? As we evolve in spirituality, there comes a point, once you evolve beyond the stages, there are various stages of evolution itself in spirituality. So as you go higher and higher, you come to a stage where you will have to see God in everything. How do you see God in everything? See, there is a piece of gold, there is a piece of iron. So one is a precious metal and one is just an ordinary metal. Can you see God in these two things? They are, you know, objects, they are a metal piece. But there is this Paramatman in that also. So God is in that. So the Paramatman is all pervading. It is in that piece of gold, it is in that piece of iron as well. It is in, you know, this beautiful entire creation, this lovely universe that you see around. The Atman is everywhere. So what is the most important thing to achieve to understand this Paramatman? That is to see God in everything. That is why you don't discriminate between a foe and a friend. You don't discriminate between somebody who's a god or somebody, you know, somebody who's a Brahmin or a Shudra. You don't discriminate between, you know, the good and the bad in the people. There's no evil, there's no good. Everything is the creation of this divine being alone. And this Paramatman has manifested into this creation. And when you see God in everybody, that is when you will understand this all-pervading, immovable, constant and everlasting Paramatman. Not until then. But to understand that, that is where you have to begin. That stage of your spiritual evolution is that you have to see God in every being, whether it is sentient or insentient beings, whether it is, you know, the human beings or whether it is, you know, the devils, demons, we say. Both the worlds, the, you know, the heavens, the godly heavens, the nether worlds, everything is pervading by this Paramatman. So there is no discrimination. The discrimination that you will have to do is that everything is God alone and everything is also unreal. Anything that is created is unreal and everything is pervaded by this Paramatman. It's all pervading. And that is when you will realize this truth, not until then. Because no matter how much I try to explain, you will still wonder, how do I understand this? Like last satsang, I gave you the example of the Princess Diaries. In that Anne Hathaway, who's the queen of the Genovia. See, she has always been the queen, right? But she didn't know that she's the queen. Does it mean she's not the queen? No, she is the queen. When she was given this understanding that she's the queen, it was very difficult for her to get that conviction that I am the queen. Because she's been living, assuming or believing that she's this body, she's this average, you know, human being or an average girl from a small middle class family who lives in a part of New York and has a very simple life to lead. That is all her vision was. But the day she understood, you know, she's told that you are the princess, you need to take charge, you have to rule this country, you know, this place, you know, the Genovia, the people of Genovia, and she doesn't get that conviction. So to get that conviction, first you need to have that understanding, and that is what happens to us. To realize that I am the Paramatman is very difficult because we are so attached to this body, our ways of life, our living, everything, we're so attached to that. So overcoming that is very, very difficult. First, you have to give up yourself thinking, I am this body, I am this mind. You know, I have, you know, relatives in my life. I live this life. This is mine. I'm born here. This is my name. Who has given the name? The name is given to the body. But are you that? That is not who you are. So getting this understanding is not an easy task. But first, you have to begin somewhere. And that is what Lord Shri Krishna is very beautifully teaching Arjuna. That you know what, now at the battlefield, you cannot say, I'm not going to fight. You cannot give up your duties just because you don't have an understanding that you are the Paramatman. The body is anyway programmed to die. Why are you getting attached to the body? And why are you blindly getting attached to all the relatives of that body? You are not thinking about your people. You are not thinking about the world. Why are you so, you know, small-minded? You don't have to be a small-minded person because we are here to serve this universe. We are here to serve everyone. One of the most important dharma of our life is that we have to go towards God realization. That is the higher purpose. The purpose of having this human birth itself is for that. And the second most important goal is to do your swadharma. Swadharma is what? To serve the purpose of the Divine Lord, which means if you have to fight a battle, you have to fight. And that is a righteous battle. It's about, you know, establishing the righteousness, the dharma. You have to do your dharma. You have to follow the path of dharma, which means you have to do your karma. Karma is what? Duties. That which comes with this body. Every body has its own prescribed duties. And you cannot say that I am not going to perform the duties. And that is what Lord Shri Krishna is saying. What are you attached and what are you saying you are not going to fight? You are programmed to fight. So you have to lift your bow and arrow and shoot the enemies. You have to fight the enemies. You can't say I am not going to, you know, do fight this. I don't need this wealth. You can't. It's predefined. You have come born with that destiny. But see, destiny is, you know, fixed. But when you have the divine master with you, it's always, you know, you can override the destiny, which means, you know, whatever that can be averted, the divine Lord will avert. But that which you have to do, your duties have to be done. But there's no karma accruing to you. You know, the destiny can be averted means what? This, it's a very, very, very in-depth, you know, aspect. It's a knowledge that nobody can understand. It's only the great gurus know. If you have a guru, only your guru can explain. And that too, he can't explain the karma, the concept of karma can never be understood by any of us. Even Sai Baba in his Poti has said, the karma is a very complex subject by itself. The guru cannot explain that to you. He can only give you a very basic understanding why you shouldn't do certain actions. Because every thought, every, you know, word that you speak, every act that you perform, everything is converting itself into karma. So here when I say, when you do your duty, what it means is, even if you have a destination to go with, which you are born as the body, you know, you don't incur that sins, you don't incur that karma. That is what it gets averted. But I'm not going to go even talk about the karma, because that's a most complex subject. Nobody on planet Earth can ever comprehend what karma is, except the divine Lord Almighty, like my Krishna Guruji. He's an essence of Lord Shri Krishna. Only he knows our past, present and the future. He can comprehend it, but he's not going to give us that deep understanding, because we cannot understand. It's a very, very, very complex subject. And let's not even get into that. But what you need to understand is, when you do your duty, born of this body, then you will not incur any sins. Because you're doing your dharma, you're doing your swadharma, which is what your goal in life is. So let us continue. So here, the understanding you need to get is, the soul is eternal, all-pervading, it's immovable. You can't even move, it's constant. Like I said, it's fixed. It's just there, okay? Constant. It is always, and right now it's existing. It's all pervading us. It's right now existing at this moment in time. And it's everlasting. It's eternal. It is always there. It's not, it's only you die. This body dies. This body will die. But the soul never dies. It's always there, eternal. So let us continue the next verse. That's verse 25. The soul is unmanifest. It is incomprehensible. And is spoken of as immutable. Therefore, knowing it as such, you should not grieve. This is exactly what the Lord is saying to Arjuna in different ways. But why don't we understand? Why are we so adamant that I'm not going to do my duties? I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. Why? Because of your attachment to the body, the mind, the senses, and you're already given into your emotions, infatuation. This soul is unmanifest. So what does it mean? It's not manifest. So you can nowhere, you can't hold, you can't touch, you can't see, you can't feel. Using your senses and mind, you cannot understand the soul. The next he's saying, see, it is incomprehensible and it is spoken of as immutable. You can't comprehend it. You cannot describe a soul. And here, Lord Shri Krishna is still trying to explain to Arjuna. Can you just imagine how difficult that is? And he still is trying to explain to Arjuna, saying that, you know, this is what the soul means. But he's still telling Arjuna that, look, the soul is incomprehensible. You can't even describe it. And it is spoken. He's saying it is spoken as of immutable. So who is spoken of? The soul is spoken as of immutable. But who has said that? It is said by some wise men, the knowers of the Brahman or the seers of the truth. They must have said it. That is what the Lord is saying. So you don't know. How will you understand? So then he's saying, when it is all of that, which is not even manifest, it is incomprehensible, when it is all pervading, it is everlasting, it is eternal, it is constant, it is always there. So what are you grieving about? You're just grieving about that body. What is the point in grieving about the body? The body has no use. Please remember, you know, my Guruji will always teach us something very beautiful. He says, God has given us this body so that we can serve. We have to do our duties to the highest of our abilities. God-given capabilities exist within us. We have that highest potential. But a man gives into that inertia. I don't want to do it. Lethargy. You name all sorts of reasoning. He gets into his mind space. And then what happens? He does not use the body to serve the purpose. We are here to wear our body to serve this universe. And plus do our duties. We have to always work hard. I have to give you a very beautiful example. Many years ago, probably 10 years back, sometime in 2010, I had been to China. I went to Guangzhou. I was living in one of my friend's home. And there, I saw how people lived in China. I was going around the city and I was amazed to see the amount of effort everybody were putting towards their job. It was incredible. That's my first experience of seeing China, a country which I've heard so much about, and you know, going there and seeing what they're doing. I went to a village. It's a village. It's called a village of, you know, lights, where they only sell lights. And it was a mind-boggling experience for me. It was so huge, massive. And there are people putting their heart and soul into the job. And there was this, where I stayed, I said this friend's house. An old lady came to work. You know what time she came there? She came around 12 a.m. in the night. And she worked till around 1 a.m. to 1:30. I think around roughly about 1:30 she was working. And then she left. I asked this friend, what sort of timing is this? You have a maid coming in at such a late hour. You know, it's like really early morning. She needs to be in bed. And then he said to me, here people work really, really long hours. And they put a lot of effort. So she must have worked at least, you know, 10, 15 houses from morning. And now this is my time, because I work during the day. I'm not at home. I'm not available. I'm back at this time. So she comes and cleans my home at this time. I was surprised. I was shocked. I had no words to describe what I felt. And she was an old woman. By the way, she's not even young. And the amount of effort she put in to do the job, that inspired me. So like my Krishna Guruji teaches, this body is given to serve, to wear ourselves out, to do our duties. And that is one of the methods to attain the divine, through karma. See, entire Bhagavad Gita, what are the different paths? It's through jnana, and then it is through karma, that is duty, and through bhakti. These are the three very important paths of attaining, you know, God realization. But you need to understand, Lord Sri Krishna's way of life is very beautiful. He gives you knowledge, he'll make you do your karma, and he gives you that love and devotion. Because you have to have that love and devotion for everything that you do. So the Lord is so benevolent that he's imparting us all the three paths, you know, whether without even our knowledge. He first has to give you the knowledge, why you need to do this. The second thing, and he teaches you how to do it. And third, he teaches you have to do it with love and devotion. Because without that bhakti, how will you achieve the highest wheel in that? You can't. So, you know, see how beautiful it is, the way of life with Lord Sri Krishna imparts. And he's never saying that you shouldn't, you know, you should run away from your duties. Lord Sri Krishna doesn't prescribe sannyas ashram, or he doesn't say you have to take into, you know, asceticism. On the contrary, he says, you have this human birth so that you can, you know, serve this world, so that you can work to your highest of your abilities. That is what is important. And, you know, we human beings do not want to work. We don't even use that God-given capabilities, even at least to 1%. Let me tell you, we don't even use that much. We waste the talent, that ability that God has given us. It is all vested with, you know, within us. But we don't use. And it is a very sad thing, you know. I feel extremely sad. So when I saw this woman, the old woman, working so much, I was very inspired. She didn't understand English and I didn't know Mandarin. But I spoke to her from my heart. And I just told her, I'm very impressed with your dedication and sincerity towards the work and being an independent person. You know, I always remember you. And she just said something back in, you know, Mandarin. It's just the language of heart. You don't need to understand any language. I know she just understood. You know, she just gave me a small hug. Very sweet it was. That's what we have to become. We need to become this, you know, individuals, this person who can do anything, who can use that God-given ability to achieve the highest and most important for the well-being of not just ourselves, for this entire world around. So we are here to wear ourselves out for the world. And that's why we say selfless service and unconditional love is what Lord Sri Krishna stands for. And every time he manifests, he teaches the same thing. First, you need to get out of this attachment to your body, to your mind, senses, believing you're, this is my relative, this is mine, this is mine. And first, understand the truth about that you are not this body. Until and unless you don't realize this, how will you know that you are the divine being? You have a higher purpose in this world. And we limit ourselves as very common man. And Lord Sri Krishna is telling, you are not that common man. You are that Arjuna, the warrior. Wake up, rise above and fight. Fight the war of your life, the battle that you have been put into the battlefield. Win both. This body is the battlefield, that Kurukshetra. Evolve, you know, win in this battlefield of this body by overcoming your body, mind, senses and transcend that. The next is, win the battlefield of this world around you, which is outside of you, and win that as well and attain the highest wheel and become that divine lord in yourself, like Lord Sri Krishna, who's compared to the lotus leaf, you know, who's like that lotus flower who blooms in that muck, yet is so beautiful, radiant and shining, the most beautiful flower, and the water is untouched to the leaf of the lotus leaf. It is untouched. Like that, we have to live. That is what is our swadharma. That is what is the purpose. But when we become emotional, we become infatuated, not having an understanding. We rue. We get into depression day in and day out. You take a life of any woman or any man today, you know, everybody is living in their miserable condition. They, you know, say, I'll just give an example. If a woman is married, what happens to her? She loses, you know, the first thing is she gets attached to her husband, then to her, the new home that she goes to, and she believes her in-laws, everybody around is a new family. So she gets attached there. Then what happens? Then comes a baby in her life. She gets a child and then she gets completely attached to the child. She loses the focus on herself. The identity of who she is lost. And then what happens? Then she becomes that very average, below mediocre person who has given up her ambition, God-given capabilities. She's forgotten all about that. And what is she doing? She's just becoming a very below average human being, not doing the swadharma. She's not doing what she's born to do. So why does this happen? Because of the attachments. Everybody, even, you know, you take example, a man goes to job and then what happens? He goes, he wants to, you know, he has bigger dreams. He wants to become a CEO, then he wants to own a yacht. He wants to, you know, become a chairman. He wants to then buy companies. So he's running in that rat race of competition in this world, losing his own identity. Yeah, but he wants to go somewhere, so he's focusing. But sometimes that's not the case. You know, life is not always an up. You know, it's not the graph which is always going in the up, right? It was also going to come down. So it's always a spiral. It's like going up, coming down, going up, coming down. So you might meet with certain failures. Then what happens? Then even everybody gets disillusioned. They get dissuaded from that goal. They think, oh, I'm afraid to try now. I don't want. You become weak. So this is what happens in the material world. But until you understand the truth that I don't have to bother about what is the outcome. You should never focus on the outcome. And that's the most important lesson which the Lord is going to impart in the following chapters. Do not bother about the outcome. End result should never be the focus. What is the outcome is none of our business. What is the most important thing in all of this is doing your job is the most important thing, and we shouldn't waste our life. You know, that's exactly what my Krishna Guruji teaches all of us, and that is what he comes to empower. The empowerment is to understand the divinity, who we are, to realize the hidden potentials, God-given capabilities, and to empowering that I am capable of achieving anything in this world. You know, recently there's a very beautiful movie that has been released. It is called Talevi. you must go watch this movie. In that, you will find the character. It's about an actress and an actress who became also a politician. Now, it is a story about her life. And in that, she's talking about how whether to become an actress or to become the, you know, getting into a political career was not her choice. She didn't choose that, but she was born with that destiny. She's meant to become that. But yeah, initially she rejected it. She said, I didn't want to do this. And, you know, in a beautiful interview, she has said this, you know, in that interview. You must watch that interview to understand what it means to do your job so perfectly well. She says, yes, I did not like to become an actress. I wanted to become an academician. I wanted to be a researcher. I wanted to win Nobel laureates. I mean, you know, I wanted to become a Nobel Prize winner for my research work. So that was her ambition. But that's fine. But she had a different fate or a destiny, which there is, you know, we say you think you want something, but God has already predefined what you have to be. You're born with that. But we don't accept that. That's a problem. We think this is how we want to live. And that's the mistake we make. Not realizing our swadharma, the purpose for why we have taken that particular body. And this understanding is not there. So we become emotional. So we feel weak. Then we'll say we don't want to fight. We don't want to do this. And then she says, I had no choice, but then I accepted what came my way. And she said, the offers kept coming and I became that actress. So it came to me naturally. And one thing she talks about, very important, what she says, you know, I gave my heart and soul to it. That is very important. And what is happening to Arjuna here? He's not ready to fight. You have to just do. Yeah, you might not like what you have to do, but that is the purpose you're born with. So you got to do. And now you cannot say, I am not going to do. So she became the best actress of her times. She won many awards. She has even acted in like about 140 movies with this, you know, the superstars at that time, you know, in multiple South Indian languages. That's a great achievement. And that is called that indomitable spirit in all of us. I have it, you have it. But why is that we are not finding it? Why are we weak-willed? Have you ever asked this question to yourself? Why are you a weak-willed person? Why do you feel down? Why do you feel that you are incapable? Why do you think you can't do it? You know, my Krishna Guruji was giving me a very beautiful lesson this evening. You know, I was feeling something which I wanted to do and I felt I'm not getting that answer. And he said, it's okay to feel that way. But you know, remember, you will get the answers. You have to just make that effort. You have to continue to put that effort and someday you will get there. You know, many years back, I'm going to give you this story again and again. But many years ago, I told him, I'm not able to write this technology articles. When he told me, you know, write this article, go write about this technology. You've worked on it. I told him, I don't know. I cannot write. I'm not from an engineering background. I don't know what it is. I gave, you know, negatives to myself. I don't know. I cannot. I will not. You know, this is what it is. Not. My Guruji never gave up on me. You know what he did? The most powerful thing. He wrote my first article and said, see, this is how you have to write. And he said, go publish this on your LinkedIn. And then he gave me the following topics. And then he helped me, you know, he wrote a bit and then he said, no, now you go do research and come and you give me some more inputs. And that way, he coaxed me into becoming independently, you know, independent writer, that I will be able to write on my own. Today, all he has to do is just give me the topic, explain to me a little bit about what he wants me to write, and that's it. And then he knows I'm capable of writing. And he will read through and say, no, this is good or this is bad, and you have to do this. He'll give me his feedback and then I have to work on it to better it. That's all he does. But that unwillingness to not do is what is the cause of us not being able to use the God-given capabilities, abilities and potentials. Everything is within us, but we don't use that. And that is what even Lord Shri Krishna is saying to Arjuna. Why are you getting attached and grieving? You are the divinity. What makes you think that you can't fight the war? That is what it is. And remember, let me tell you, my Guruji, you know, every single day, he keeps, you know, pushing me. You know why? That's because he knows I can do much better. And that push is very important. Like your Lord Shri Krishna is not going to give up on Arjuna. He's saying, you can do it, you have to do it. And he's teaching him relentlessly. That is what is the great master, the great divinity does, and not anybody else. Please remember, my Krishna Guruji does this to all his disciples and devotees, especially to his disciples. You know, when you're learning under the tutelage of this real master, and this is what you learn, you go through that rigorous training, you learn the real way, how to empower the divinity within you. Because to understand that I am the Paramatman is not an easy thing. But with the grace, with the effort, you will be able to reach that destination. You will be able to overcome your inadequacies, that thing, you know, that emotion, that, you know, your lower self, with your mind, which says, no, you can't, you cannot. It always pulls you down. It gives you all the negatives in the world and doesn't allow you to rise above. This is what you will be able to overcome. So in my case, when my Guruji in the initial stages kept pushing me, you know, every single time he will give me a topic and say, now you go do this. You have done this before. You don't stop giving yourself the negative. Yes, you have to put effort. I am going to trash that article if that article is not good. I still remember once he made me rewrite that article 5 to 6 times. I was like almost going to break at a point. But I was very grateful, because that's what makes one to learn in the most perfect manner. Perfection is what is important. You have to go deep into a subject. And him teaching me like this is, you know, I'm eternally grateful to him. Because nobody else will do this for you. Trust me, only the divine master like this Lord. He is relentlessly telling Arjuna, do not grieve. What are you grieving about? Rise and fight. You can, you will, and you conquer. That is what we have to believe in ourselves as well. And with my Krishna Guruji's grace, since that day, there is no looking back. And he reminded me. He said, 4 years back, you did this. You said you can't. But today you are doing it. So what makes you think that what I'm telling you today, that you will not be able to do? Who is telling this? It's the mind. Please remember, the mind is always going to come and destroy that confidence within us. So we should never allow the mind to speak. You have a conviction that I am that Paramatman, the Lord is within me, I have the grace and I can do it. What is that you will not be able to achieve? Tell me. You will be able to fight the greatest of the wars in this world. And this is the truth you need to understand. That is exactly what Lord Shri Krishna is imparting to Arjuna. With that, we will stop here. This episode, I mean today's satsang, we'll continue from the next verse, that is verse 26, tomorrow. Thank you once again for joining the Bhagavad Gita Satsang. Have a wonderful evening. Om Shri Mahaganapate Namaha, Om Shri Gurudev Datta, Om Shri Sachidananda Sadguru Sainath Maharaj Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavade Vasudevaya, Digambara Digambara, Shri Pad Vallabha Digambara. Om Shri Krishna Guru Natanathaya Shri Guruve Namaha, Om Devi Durgaya Namaha, Om Shri Krishna Arpanam Namastu. Krishnam Vande Jagadguru.